Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Building the Broncos with Nick Kendall and Carl Dummler, Broncos Country's leading draft and scouting analysts. Get on over to milehighhuddle.com to sound off on all things Broncos.
I believe in you. There we go. All right. Welcome in. Welcome in. It is Tuesday evening, the 15th. Time for an episode of Building the Broncos. I am Nick Kendall and joined by, as always, on these Tuesday evening shows, Carl Dummler. Carl, how you doing out there? I'm rocking the Mount Whitney gear today. You're rocking the hiking gear. What's going on? It's meant to be. How you doing?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of like the Broncos. They got an uphill climb now after that embarrassing game on Sunday, and they're not out of it by any means. They're, no. I think, the eighth seed right now, tied for the seventh seed with the Colts, but in a couple winnable games ahead for them. It just fortunately kind of let one get away there against the Chargers, and hopefully we can kind of get that out of our system real quick because we got a game already here on Thursday, and like I said, very winnable game. I saw one of the Saints announcers said, hey, this is kind of like the Kendall Hinton game, but in reverse. We're missing our starting quarterback, probably our wide receiver one and two are gone, starting center, starting right guard. I'm trying to remember who else they said they had injuries.
Linebacker
on.
Might be out, Pete Werner.
Yeah, tight end one might be out.
Yeah.
Depending on who you consider their tight end one, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like I said, the Broncos got a chance, but you can't do what you did this last Sunday, that's for sure.
No, they didn't. Yeah, this is a Saints team that's reeling right now after a very hot 2-0 start. They've dropped three or four in a row. I can't recall if they had a bye week or not. It's four in a row. Nope. Yeah, so they are definitely reeling. It seems like a team that entering the season, Dennis Allen very much on the hot seat, and that seat's got to be getting hotter and hotter. And after a 2-0 start to fall to 0-4 in a row and not looking very good, but we'll get into the Saints team here in a bit. First, we want to say hello to everybody coming in to the chat to start today. Of course, we got our guy Papa Bear, David Mickelrath, keeping the lights on in here for us with the super chats. Of course, thank you so much. He says, good evening, Broncos country. He said, hashtag 10-7. Let's go, Bo. Yeah, let's go, Bo. Let's go, Broncos. Hopefully this is a chance for some get right for the Broncos, no doubt. This isn't a horrible defense for the Saints by any means. You know, this isn't a bottom 10 defense. They are 14th in the NFL in EPA per play, but I do think that a lot of that is probably propped up by those first 2 weeks as well, and they just had an unbelievable, terrible game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week where it wasn't even like Baker Mayfield was playing great. I mean, he had three interceptions against him.
Three.
I think all in the second quarter too. They kind of just put Baker in a box a little bit, and he had like almost no completions beyond 10 air yards after the first quarter. They still put up 51 points and an unbelievable amount of yardage. They couldn't tackle. Just totally lacking discipline and looked like a team just in disarray. I will say, I thought Rattler handled himself well for a fifth round rookie. I still think that the gap between the sixth quarterback taken and the seventh quarterback taken being pick 12 to the fifth round was wild, but I know who knows. But this is two very injured teams with rookie quarterbacks and a pivot game, a fork in the road game for the Broncos. You kind of have to have this one if you want to be playing meaningful football in December.
Yeah, you've got two, like I said, very winnable games coming up, Saints and Panthers, followed right there by that November schedule that's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
So you lose these games, season's not quite, I mean, you can't say it's over, but it's pretty much over at that point. I will say Sean Payton seems to have a way of winning like the hard games and sometimes losing the easy games. It's a weird dynamic that he has with that sometimes. It's pretty much almost where somebody says, you can't win this game. And it's like, oh yeah, watch me.
Bet.
But then all of a sudden they're favorites and it's like, oh, let's all relax. Now, I'm not saying that's what they do, but it just sometimes feels that way. You know, they had a lot of momentum coming into this Chargers game and it just felt like they weren't prepared. You know, in reality, the Chargers did exactly what I said the Broncos should do to the Chargers defense. A lot of misdirection, a lot of getting players trying to move sideways instead of downfield, you know, kind of limiting what that pass rush could do. Leaning into the run game, Broncos did not lean into the run game again. And so this is an, and then, you know, I mean, like I said, we'll get into the Saints game in here in a little bit, but a lot of what the Saints did with Rattler, I'm really hoping the Broncos do with Bo Nix this week. Getting him on the move, getting him out of the pocket, giving him some easy reads where it's half the field instead of having to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you could tell, like, he felt halfway comfortable in that game. Second half, a little bit different. They started saying, okay, no more. We're going to blitz you like crazy. We're going to do some disguises here on the back end. And then once he started feeling some pressure, things kind of fell apart for him. But that first half, that guy, I'm sitting there going, man, that's what we all thought Bo Nix would look like this year. And he has not looked that way other than, I guess you could say, the Tampa Bay game.
Yeah. Yeah, and we want to say hello to some more people first before we start digging more into the Saints game. Maybe talk a little bit of trade stuff as well. And as always, you know, if you guys have any questions and hit us with the super chat, we will definitely get to those. We got C Chang. Come on, please win. Play all quarters, not just the fourth quarter, the last minute. Yeah, a lot of garbage time talk this week in Broncos country. But, you know, it's no garbage time in here. We're hanging out. We're having fun. We got Rebuild This Team coming in and says it's called a soft coverage because the game was over. Sean Payton even admitted it himself. The prevent defense. It's not just the prevent defense. It's guarding the sidelines. It's softer coverages in general. It's making sure that if you do score, it's going to take 7 minutes to do so. So it's the circumstances are the same. I mean, it's nice that we have a statistical definition of filtering out garbage time by using win probability rather than like, oh, what is garbage time? Like, you can have garbage time and then a team scores a touchdown and then it's not garbage time anymore. So those plays that happened before were, and then the future plays aren't. But it's fun that we have something like that. We got Wolfie coming in, says, good evening, Broncos country. Great to see you. US Dave says the reason for no points in the first three quarters is because the other team wants to win too. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Broncos. There has been garbage time, no doubt, in that Seattle game. It felt a little bit like garbage time. The Steelers game at the end felt a little bit like that. And, this last game. But Denver's 3-3. You know, 0 points in half of their games, in the first half of half their games is unacceptable, really. I mean, for a team that has as much expenditures in the offensive line, still a decently high-paid wide receiver in Sutton, but this team has holes, no doubt, too. It's just got to get a little better there. And luckily for the Broncos, something that's kind of driven me nuts this year about the offense is the lack of consistent run game. Now, the run game is light years ahead of the pass game so far, statistically speaking. But you want to take, as Sean Payton talked about when Russell Wilson came, and take him off the high dive. Same thing with Bo Nix. And boy, howdy, do we have an opponent coming up that should make it forget the taking him off the high dive. We're putting him in the kiddie pool this week, and we should be able to run the football with Bo Nix, because the Saints have been god freaking awful against the run since week three. So that's, again, only a 4-game sample size, but that's meaningful still. And they are far and away the worst defense in EPA per play against the run in the NFL. Teams are putting up almost 0.2 points per rush right now. So 5 runs is 1 point. I mean, it's pretty unheard of. The next closest is 1.24 in the Cowboys, and the Saints are just so much further away there. They're also the second worst in rush success rate behind the Bengals. They can't stop the run. They have no ability to stop the run right now. So hopefully a get right game for the Broncos offensive line, get right game for Javonte Williams. Maybe we have some Estime sightings in this one as well. Sean Payton talking about getting him involved. Now, granted, if Denver runs ragged over the Saints this week, that doesn't mean like, okay, we figured it out. The run game is going to be top five the rest of the season. But in one game on a Thursday night football, it does seem like that's something that Denver should at least lean into and be able to do in this game when the offense hasn't been able to do much of anything consistently this season.
Yeah. Sean Payton, when he was asked about how do you prepare for a Thursday game, he said, well, the thing I've learned over my years of doing this is you simplify as much as you possibly can. He said, if you try to fit a full week of everything in, it's going to be chaos out there. Mm-hmm. He said, we try to run, we go to the players, say, hey, what plays do you really like? These are the ones we're going to run. Everybody knows these. These are what we stick with. You know, you're really not trying to come up with, I mean, you're still trying to come up with a game plan. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying you're not trying to add extra compared to what you've done the first 6 weeks of the season. And like you said, run game, that's simplified. Let's just go snot nose football, run it at them over and over again. Let's make them show that they can actually stop the run. And like you said, this last game, especially terrible tacklers. I mean, they had so many plays that they were going to stop Tampa Bay Bucks, and all of a sudden, guy just slipped one tackle and turns into a big play. Broncos have been missing that most of this year. They haven't had a ton of broken tackles, go make a play. Javonte Williams, he's been up and down in that category. He's had a couple games where he really looked good, taking on tacklers and getting those extra yards. This is a great game for him to go prove that once again. So, like I said, that's a simplified system. Run the football, play action, get your quarterback out of the pocket, give him some simple reads, and I think you can come away with a win in this one. I think they've just been trying to too complicate it for Bo Nix, and he just does not look comfortable.
Yeah, this should be a get-right game for him. Now, granted, like I said, the Saints' run defense is terrible. Their pass defense is fine. But I mean, you should have some shots against Paulson and Debo, whether it become penalty yards or big plays down the field. Alante Taylor has been a little bit erratic back there. They still have Marshawn Lattimore, but as we talk about cornerbacks, they don't really have a long shelf life, in the NFL. So he's not the premium guy that he used to be. He's good still, but not, you know, talking about like, you know, one of the top three in the NFL anymore. Right. So we have Elias coming in saying, Elias Burnall, $4.99. Thank you so much, Elias, for the support. He says, do the Broncos have any dead cap in 2025 from Wilson? Denver Broncos for life. The Raiders traded their best offensive player. Ha, 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 ha. Maybe they traded their best offensive player, but maybe not their most valuable. Bowers would probably get more right now, but that's a lot of age, you know, rookie contract stuff. I might take Bowers with head up over Adams right now because just how hard it is to find production from the tight end position. But Denver's, I believe it's $30 million dead cap for Russell Wilson next season. So 32 million. We got the producer. Of course. Come on, Nick. Yeah. Sorry, Scott. We're right here at 32 million dead on Russell Wilson next year, which is 25 million in savings. So they split it. They had a chance to split the money and they took the heavier cap hit this season rather than next season. So 32 million dead on Russell Wilson next season. So it's still there, but that's a fraction of what it was this season. So it'll still be there. Right. And with that extra money, Denver will have the ability to pay some people next year, just with how contracts are scheduled, right? So if you pay a guy like a 5-year or a 4-year contract, that first year typically is pretty low against the cap hit or against the cap where it's ballooned later on down the contract line. But yeah, Denver will have a little bit more cap flexibility next year. Does that mean they should, you know, spend like crazy and put it all on the credit card? I don't know. You're typically not getting your A-tier players hitting free agency. Like Denver's not going to be able to sign Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson or Dexter Lawrence to this team next year, or Brock Bowers, right? You know, any of those guys. So you want to be a little bit careful with the spending. Day one winners on free agency don't typically end up winning much in January, but Denver will have a little bit more flexibility for sure.
Yeah, I think they're scheduled with the estimated rise in the cap to be at about $71 million in cap space next year. Mm-hmm. So like I said, can go make some moves, but some of it you're probably going to be spending on your own people. Cooper, you hope that you're probably trying to bring him or Browning, one of those two guys back, so that your edge room isn't completely overhauled in one season. Linebacker, you've got a couple guys that are going to be hitting free agency in Cernod, Barton. I'm trying to think who else. I think there was another one that was going to be hitting free agency. So like I said, you're going to have to make a few moves just in your own roster. And then you can make a couple mid-tier moves, I think would be your best bet at this point. Then really hope that the cap or the draft is where you can find that extra talent for your team and that you can keep just rebuilding through the young talent. You know, that's the best way to build a team. Like I said, you don't want to be that team that wins free agency by spending the most money. It doesn't usually equal top tier production. The Broncos got really fortunate back in 2014, bringing in Aqib Talib, DeMarcus Ware, Emmanuel Sanders. That's unheard of.
And those were guys added to a core that was already built up on like second and third contracts for a lot of them, right? I mean, like you already had DT here, right? How good is Sanders without DT being the number one? He's still great. Like, don't get me wrong, but it complements it. How good is Ware without Von Miller and the depth that you have there? I mean, you already had Chris Harris Jr. So it makes sense when you are in the window right now. And I kind of worry that Denver maybe is going to be a little bit, let's say they finish this season 6-11. We got to prove everything right. You know, guys for their job at that point too can be a little bit short-sighted, but you know, that's a ways down the line yet. Phil McLaughlin coming in says, good evening, Nick, Carl, and Deacon. Scott, is Peyton just stuck in the past? I feel like he is still good coaching Drew. Open the playbook based on today's game. Buck, I'm MHH for life and Broncos for life. It's hard to say. I mean, you don't have a lot of separators on offense right now. The guys that were supposed to be your explosive play guys like Mims have shown to be kind of one-trick ponies that struggle at the catch point or running routes. You're dealing with unbelievable amount of offensive line injuries. Your running back's been putting the ball on the turf a little bit. And your quarterback has been a little bit erratic with his ball placement and pocket feel. So, and when the ball's traveled beyond 10 yards, a lot of times that it's not, you know, a one-on-one to Cortland Sutton, it's felt like the ball's a little bit in harm's way. You're a little late on that one, or it's the wrong shoulder or something like that. So, I don't know if opening the playbook right now, Sean Payton is playing. I have a rookie quarterback and injuries on the offensive line and a very good defense. We're going to be in a lot of games unless the offense blows it by turning it over. And I think that's, maybe that's old school approach right now, but I mean, it's gotten Denver to 3-3 with a bottom five offense in the NFL through 6 weeks. The playbook will be opened up once the players on offense show that they deserve the playbook to be opened up, in my opinion.
Yeah. And if you go back and actually watch like the all 22, like you said, there are plays where guys are open and Nick's is missing him. Like,
which is not shocking. It's not shocking, but you're right. Yeah.
Right. So I don't think it's that the play calling is all, it's not all the play calling. I'm not saying the play calling has been perfect either. I think a lot of times we kind of judge on, was the play successful? You know, we are a results-based people. Sometimes the process is actually right. They get the right play call in, and the players just don't execute to the level that you need them to actually go win the play. Other times, the play call is just terrible, and there's no chance for success unless the players just do something crazy. And right now, Bo Nix is not able to overcome bad play calling because he's just not at that level of play yet. And Sean Payton can only call a game so well, you still have to have your players go make plays. And right now, the Broncos, like I said, guys are not getting open. When they are, Bo Nix isn't always seeing it right, or he might even see it right, but he's either late with the throw or the throw's a bad throw. You know, like the interception, this last one, I know it hit the guy's hand. Like, I used to be one of those people that if it hits their hand, they have to catch it. No, that was a bad throw. It just, you know, barely went off his fingertips, got tipped to the wrong guy. And sometimes it's a little bit of bad luck, but also it was just a bad throw anyway. Kind of deserved to be intercepted. So he's got to clean some things up to actually build the trust of the playbook, or build the trust of Sean Payton to open the playbook.
Mm-hmm. And got to prove that you can protect the football while still being aggressive and hunting. You know, it can't be, it's a little bit the opposite of, Drew Lock right now, where it's like the ball is, you know, he's throwing it around, but damn, it's in harm's way. And we're trying to figure out that balance right now. And I think with the next two games should be a chance for that. And I'm really hoping to just winning better on first and second down, better in the first half. It's only six games in. The trends are the trends, but the sample size is so small. I'm willing to put that in the past. If, you know, we start to put some good tape together here. Thank you so much, Phil, for the super chat. We appreciate you. Woofy says, good evening, Broncos country. Great to see you. We got Daniel Berry Sports in here. Says, yo, our guy Patrick in the house. Patrick with the coffee. God bless you. He says, aloha, boys. Good to see you. Always great to see Patrick. We got Roy Osborne says, hey there, guys. If we can't run the ball, I'm sure the Broncos may not win. Yeah, this feels like a very much chance for a get right game, like we talked about earlier with the run game, because the Saints, they are just they've been really struggling the last four games in a row, which is a broad enough sample size for to judge an entire team, I believe, at least in the phase they're in right now. Like for a single player, that's harder to do, but for the system in itself, when you look at all the pieces together, we can't say they're obviously really bad against the run right now. So if Denver can't run the ball in this one, we need to be panicking, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, I can't imagine the Saints with all the injuries they have. I got that pulled up here. We can talk about that in a second, that they're going to do what the Chargers did and be up 20-0, you know, just score drive after drive after drive. If they're doing that, you know, we have problems way beyond the offense and the defense. I mean, that's a top-down thing if the defense starts to fall apart.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how would you divide up the running back carries after Javonte Williams had that horrific game this last week?
I'm probably trying to play with the hot hand a little bit. I still don't trust Jaleel McLaughlin specifically in pass protection. I think it's a total tell when he's in there, and that makes it so much harder on your offensive line when you do that. So I am still, I mean, you have the horses that you have. So I'm probably still leaning in Javonte Williams for now. If he puts the ball on the turf again, you probably have to lean more Estime. I can't imagine. McLaughlin just doesn't have the body type to take 20 plus carries a game. It just can't happen. Unless, you know, you want to run him for three games and then on to the next one. I think they're going to probably start to try to get Estime in there a little bit too. It's just, he's fumbled on 25% of his carries, right? So can't have it. but I think it's probably still Williams, but he is on, you know, strike two, one more, and it's maybe a shift there. Cody W coming in and says, trade for Njoku, cheap contract, can catch the ball. I don't know the specifics of Njoku's contract, but he is, I believe, 28, 29 years old. If he's available for like a fourth and Denver sends back a six, I'm interested. This is a very good, excuse me, still getting over this cold here. this is a very great tight end class coming up. It's not like, you know, I have three or four first round tight ends, but like day two should maybe littered with tight ends. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that you like have to go get one in the, in trade or free agency this year. Otherwise you're sunk. But the other factor here is that tight ends typically take 2, 3, 4 years, to develop. It's one of the slowest developmental curve positions in the NFL. So you might want to draft a guy and still, you know, have Njoku come in, but he's one that makes sense to me because he's the only one on the market that I think also offers a potentially on the market that also think offers inline ability. I know like Evan Ingram might be available too. That's a glorified slot receiver. I mean, that you're talking about like Vele's big slot role there, right? Or little Jordan Humphrey. You don't want him in line. I don't really have much interest in Ingram in what I think they're trying to do 12 and 21 personnel wise.
Yeah, I mean, part of me gets with Ingram just because he's such a good fit in this short passing game. I mean, the strengths of Onyx line up with the strengths of Ingram. He's not a great deep threat. He's got that short area quickness to get open. He can go catch the ball 10 times and he might only have 80 yards kind of game. But like I said, he can make those quick area catches that the Broncos don't have over the middle of the field right now. So that's the only reason that I would push a little bit towards him. But you're right. If Njoku, if I had a choice between the two, it'd be Njoku because of that inline ability. Taysom Hill, any interest there?
I mean,
so you beat the Saints, they're probably going to be sellers.
I think I'd rather have Foster Moreau for super cheap and bring in a tight end athlete option than Taysom Hill. But I mean, I don't know. I'm not super interested in any of that. I mean, maybe Austin Hooper for super cheap from the Patriots. So I'm looking for a why. Somebody who actually is a plus, or not, forget even being a plus, not an outright negative in the run fits or the run scheme. Kind of what you have right now with Kroll and Dulcich. I mean, they don't offer diddly as run blockers. And Atkins is more of a fullback type than an inline guy. So that's what I'm looking for. I want to be able to run the gosh darn football better than we have been. In other news, we got Christian Welch was released today. So that's a little bit of a bummer, but that is potentially good news. Broncos, I believe, have a roster spot open. They also moved on from Tanner McAllister, name, safety. I think that's the name. Sorry, guys. I don't know. But free up a couple roster spots. Browning and McGlinchey could be activated before Thursday as well. So keeping an eye on the Broncos injury reports there. And we got Dennis Woods coming in with the gorgeous profile picture. My God, Dennis, that is beautiful. Go Hawks. He's six games in. Bulls extend him or let him walk. I just keep thinking that if Denver was interested in keeping Bulls, they would have already extended him. So I think he's still very much on a trial, and there's no reason to extend him or let him walk when we still got games to see what can happen here. My big concern is that you let him walk. This upcoming draft class, people in the NFL are saying is like absolute dog water at offensive tackle in the early rounds. Now, guys can step up, but like one of the guys who was rising was Josh Simmons for Ohio State, and he just tore something in his knee, is going to be out for the season. The top tackle at Texas and Kelvin Banks, a lot of people think is a guard. Will Campbell at LSU, a lot of people think is a guard. It's a pretty craptastic tackle class on paper right now. So you let Bulls walk and you pigeonhole yourself into reaching for a tackle in the draft. Bad strategy. Bad strategy. So I don't know what we'll do there. But I don't, I mean, heck, Carl, if Denver loses, you know, two of the next three games, maybe even Bulls is traded and you get a jump start onto next season with McGlinchey at left tackle or Pert at left tackle, getting him a run and whatever happens there. I mean, it could go any way with Bulls right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think this unfortunately might be one of those positions you have to trust your coaching. You know, the Broncos have raved about the offensive line development. Belcheski, you know, didn't look terrible out there when he was given his opportunity. Pert was okay when he had to go in there at right tackle this last game. I wouldn't say it was great by any means. But with the offensive line being so expensive already, can you now go and extend Bowles and keep adding to that group where you've really pretty much put it, we have to have a great offensive line. Like, if this unit is not great, our team is failing because we have so much invested in this group. And I feel like he is, like you said, if they haven't already re-signed him, and he's always been in those trade rumors, it just kind of feels like he's a guy on the way out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about Sutton in trade rumors. It seems like every single offseason went on, but Garrett Bowles also has been somebody that has been like, oh, what would you want for that? I mean, last year there was some talk of that before the draft. So we'll see what happens. We got Ralph coming in saying, your matching hats are cute. Ralph, you're cute.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you so much. we also have matching, never mind. Building the Broncos shirts. We'll just leave it at that. Michael Crabtree coming in. Don't yank any chains. Says, let's go Broncos win this game. What a tune change here for Michael Crabtree. No, I appreciate you coming in here. Canelo comes in and says, why is it so hard for offense to score? This is literally why I brought in Sean. You are a team that's dealing with the ramification of the Russell Wilson trade, the dead cap hit on the release, and a rookie quarterback. And injuries are really piling up on the offensive line as well. So all things together, bottom five offense.
Yeah, and I would add, even some of their drives that have looked good, they seem to be stalled by a penalty at some point. You know, you think of even they're right at the end of the half. Broncos finally got a big play, holding call. And so a 46-yard play is wiped out that would have got you possibly some points on the board and at least gave you a little bit of promise that, you know, maybe we could compete in the second half. I felt like when that play really got called back, it was just like the wind got taken out of everybody. And I mean, I know they put up some points there in the second half, but it was more what the Chargers were doing of trying to run out clock than trying to keep the Broncos from scoring. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think there's just a lot of things working against the Broncos with that offense. They are not on the same page. It does seem like people are confused on what they're supposed to be doing. It's kind of like the defense last year to start off the season. A lot of guys were just completely out of position. You know, it just felt like ball would be snapped and they'd be like, am I supposed to be in zone coverage, man coverage? Who's my guy? Who's your guy? And nobody was communicating very well. It seemed like once they simplified things as the season went on and Vance Joseph started calling more things that he was comfortable with, everybody started getting on the right page and defense started looking at least decent. You know, it wasn't great, but it was better than what it was. And so that's why I keep saying with the upcoming game for Thursday, you know, Sean Payton talked about it of being, let's simplify things. Well, if you have success with that, I'm going to say, hey, keep doing that. Keep it simple. Like, yeah, it might not be the most explosive offense, but that's not what you're going to have this year. It's about development, growing, building the confidence of these players. And if you're making everything so complicated with, you know, Sean Payton's play calls, because he is known as one of the more complicated playbooks in the entire league, you're not really actually helping these guys as much as you could.
Yeah, for sure. We got String Guy coming in, says, good evening all. I see Michael Davis in here, so I'm going to say it again. If we run the ball well, we win. If Bo is not our leading rusher, we win. It's a simple fix, but difficult to execute. Yeah, it's easier said than done. Yesterday, last week's game just kind of got away from them because all of a sudden they were behind and they kind of were forced into that. And also the Chargers had like 15 more minutes of possession or something, because they just got third down after third down after third down. I mean, they had a 20 play drive. I mean, my God. Herbert, I mean, all the stats weren't incredible, but like, you just look at the third down stuff. What were they, like 13 for 18 on third down? Unbelievable. Herbert was balling. That's why advanced stats are better than box score. I saw somebody post out Bo Nix's stat line next to Herbert's, like, toss it, wipe my butt with it, then toss it away. That's not the same game. Terrible. To compare the two in that, but yeah, 8 for 10 in the first half on third downs. I mean, that's your ball game, folks. Could not finish the drives, but yeah, Denver needs to be able to run the football, no doubt in this one. Thank you, Michael, for the comment. We got Chase coming in, BTB. Good to see you. Canelo comes in and says, sucks Bo has so much experience, but still a lot of bad habits. Yeah, he looks a lot more like Auburn Bo Nix right now than Oregon Bo Nix, but hey, it's still just six games, and this is definitely Sean Payton's guy. Michael says Alec Jackson, Spencer Brown will be available next year. Alec Jackson, I mean, he played at Iowa, but he's had some suspension issues. I don't know if there's some off the field stuff, but Spencer Brown signed a new contract with the Bills, so he is not going to be on the market. That's I don't know where the stats you got or the info you got there, but he re-signed one in season. Ernie Mays, hello, man. Go Broncos country. Go Bo Nix for 60 minutes of football. That's all. I want to win. Yeah. Your mouth to, or your fingers there, Ernie, to the football gods' ears. Good to see you. And just starting to dig into it here. Carl, this is just an unbelievably injured Saints team on paper. So we have, obviously, their number one wide receiver in the similar situation as the Broncos are with Surtain, suffers a concussion. I just can't imagine any way in heck that he is going to be cleared and be able to play Thursday. So you got Chris Olave out. Of course, you have Cesar Ruiz out. They're starting guard. You got Lucas Patrick. He's been a limited participant. Derek Carr out as well. Pete Werner out. Rashid Shaheed, who's been one of the best deep play threats and returners in football. I mean, gosh, if only Marvin Mims could play like Rashid Shaheed, right? He's been out. Chris Olave is probably going to be out. And then injury after injury, the limited participation today. Peyton Turner, Alvin Kamara, Carl Granderson, Nathan Shepard, your guy, Carl, if you, Alante Taylor hurt, Tyron Matthew hurt, Willie Gay out, Bub Means. I mean, this just, a lot of those guys will play in this one, but this is a very dinged up team that is coming off an absolute boat racing against the Buccaneers last week. Dead man walking potentially with Dennis Allen. It feels like this is a chance to come in and rip the heart out of a Saints team pretty quickly here. And I don't think the Broncos are in the same boat right now. They seem to have a little bit more resolve than the Saints.
Yeah, like I said, this last game just got, it was weird. Very first pass play for the Broncos, interception. You get down again early in this one, 10-0. A lot of those third and longs. Like, I've never seen a team pick up so many third and longs in a game in a long, long time. It just seemed like they had an answer every single time for what the Broncos were trying to do. I don't see the Saints being able to do that, like what we saw with the Chargers this last week. And especially with a rookie quarterback that start having his second start on a shortened week. I think there's a lot of things working in the Broncos' favor for sure. But then again, Thursday games are a little bit of a toss-up. Weird things happen on Thursday nights. We've seen some crazy blowouts where the team nobody thought would win all of a sudden finds a way to win. So I guess I'm always kind of in that cautiously optimistic place. Like, Broncos should be the team that wins this one. Like, they've got, like I said, they got a lot more things working in their favor right now. But at the same time, I just always have that worry that something's going to happen, a bad play, a bad bounce. You know, this last game, even they had Justin Herbert fumbled, and it just happened to bounce right back into his lap when the Broncos were down 10-0. And I was kind of like, oh man, that was that play like last week. When the Broncos had the interception for a touchdown when they were down 10-0. that was that game-changing moment where this one, the ball bounced the other way. And it just, when that happened, I was like, that's it. Like, that was that play that really could have turned things for the Broncos, got them back on track, and it just didn't quite happen.
Yeah, it did not happen. So, yeah, this is a Saints team, and Scott makes a good point. On paper, the teams the Saints have lost to here in the Falcons, Eagles, Chiefs, and Buccaneers, pretty good. I don't know about the Eagles right now. They seem to be spiraling a little bit. I mean, Nick Sirianni, it's no matter what he does, he makes it about him. It's pretty weird out there in New England. But yeah, Falcons rising up, and the Buccaneers and Chiefs looking pretty good as well. But I don't know. This just is a team that feels like it's going the wrong way right now. And as much as, you know, the gap between when Nix came off the board and Rattler came off the board, I don't think the talent gap is like that the high between them. But I trust in this game, when there's so many pieces out, it's Thursday Night Football. It's not who do I trust more to go make a play. It's who do I trust more to not make the catastrophic mistake. And yeah, I think Rattler is going to put the ball in harm's way more than Nix is in this game. And Denver doesn't do anything good offensively right now. Like, you got to either be, you need to have two of the four, and efficient passing, explosive passing, efficient running, explosive rushing. They're not, I think, top 15 in any of those this season. They might be in explosive passing, but they're like bottom two in success rate in passing, which kind of wipes it out. And this is a game where styles kind of make fights. They should be able to run the freaking football. They should. yeah. So again, that on top of trusting Nix to protect the ball a little bit more, makes me lean into Denver, with this game.
Rattler had a few of those passes that made you go, oh, yep, that's why he fell to the fifth round. Mm-hmm. Where he had some great ones. I mean, there's a reason that he has a first round arm, mm-hmm. in the sense of how hard he can throw it, and he can fit it in those tight windows. And he has a couple of those hero balls that make you go, oh, that was really nice. And then he follows it up with one that you're going, what in the world? You just threw it into triple coverage. Mm-hmm. And thought that would work out well for you. And so he definitely, I could see him having a multi-turnover game in this one. And he tries to, he doesn't want to throw it away either. That's the other big thing. You can get a couple fumbles, forced fumbles out of this one. Broncos should be able to get pressure and get a few sacks.
I was going to say, he plays like somebody who, he has a very good arm, but it's not like, you know, Josh Allen bazooka arm there.
Yeah.
And the arm arrogance can get him in trouble. And also, he is not the athlete that he thinks he is with how he plays. So a few things that can hurt him. Now, granted, his time at South Carolina, one thing I will give him credit for is that I don't think I've ever, I honestly to God cannot remember evaluating a quarterback who was so constantly under duress as Rattler was at South Carolina. I think he was like pressured on like 40% of his dropbacks. And typically you see like 15 to 20. I mean, it was just, he was fighting for his damn life out there. That South Carolina offensive line coach should be, I don't know, selling tires or something at this point. It was unbelievable how bad they were on the offensive line. But so he's used to being under duress, but that kind of leads to some hero ball tendencies. So again, things where Denver can run the football, score some points in the first half, and get a lead, that really leans itself well into Denver having an advantage here. The other aspect I wanted to get into here is that on, obviously we're talking about Spencer Rattler, all those passing weapons getting out, offensive line injured. They do have two first-round picks at tackle in Penning, who's kind of a penalty machine out there, and Fuaga, who's been good. I think he had an injury, but he's been a pretty good run blocker out there for them. He was the guy who came off the board, pick 14, I think, after Bowers, and then next to the Bowers, then Fuaga. But this is a game where really it's make Spencer Rattler beat me. I think that I know Denver's used a lot of cover one, and without Surtain, we'll see if they change what they want to do. I don't know if you can play as much, you know, single high man coverage, but you need to be able to scheme out and take away Alvin Kamara. That's how the Saints team beats you. If you're not beating yourself, is that if Alvin Kamara has a game and you are kind of looking, you know, the Family Guy trying to tackle a greased up deaf guy the Family Guy bit out there. Cause that's what Kamara can make you do, even though he's a little bit older.
So I think with, especially Shahid being out, that is, as much as Derek Carr being out is a big injury, I think that one, because he really dictates coverages with his ability to take the top off of defense. So I do think you can cheat up. And like you said, really say, hey, we're going to load the box. Kamara's not going to do anything in this game in the run game. They like to run a lot of screen passes. especially with Kamara, that kind of player. And they're pretty much going to say everything within 10 yards, we're making sure this isn't happening. And Spencer Rattler, go out there. You're going to have to make all these great throws. And like I said, he can make some great ones. He had a couple really nice ones to the sideline on third down plays that I was like, wow, that was a really like tight window. I don't know how, you know, if you don't put it where it's supposed to be, it's going to be a turnover.
Yeah.
But like I said, then there's those other plays where I don't know what he's seeing on the field. And kind of reminds me of Jameis Winston in some of that instance where he made some great plays, but then he just did some bonehead things that made you think that this guy was, you know, half blind in one of his eyes or something. It couldn't see half the field and he decided to throw it that way. So, like I said, I think the Broncos got a really, really good chance. Just can't turn the ball over. That's going to be the equalizer in one of these kind of games.
Yeah. So it should be pretty interesting to see what happens here. Another area here on the Saints team. So they're pretty beat up on the offensive line. And I remember watching the Saints Eagles. And after Eric McCoy went down, Cesar Ruiz shifted over to the center spot. Jalen Carter, former 8 overall pick or whatever he was, the defensive tackle from Georgia drafted by the Eagles. He looked like he was the 9th overall. Thank you, Scott. Yeah, the 8th overall would have been the Bijan Robinson. Yep, of course, because the Falcons always pick 8 overall. But Jalen Carter looked like the freaking reincarnation of Reggie White or Aaron Donald out there. I mean, just destroyed them. I think they found a little bit more consistency there, but this interior of the Saints offensive line is not very good. Again, we already talked about Ruiz being on the injury report, didn't participate today. Lucas Patrick, their backup there, dealing with a chest injury. This might be a game where Zach Allen goes crazy. If Denver, especially if they can get a lead or force the Saints into third and longs, I expect Allen to have a game, and you need Allen to step up. Now that PS2 is going to be out for Thursday, you need your big players on the defense to step up. And I think Allen is very, very good. I mean, he's definitely Pro Bowl this season. I don't know if I'd say all pro, but definitely Pro Bowl. You need those guys to step up and make plays. Be better than the players that you're supposed to beat. I mean, it's something that when we're like evaluating college prospects, it's like, well, he should have beaten that right tackle. Yeah, and he did. That's good. Like, you got to be able to take advantage of the matchups when you are better than those guys. And this is one where Allen should be better in the one-on-ones, assuming Vance is dialing it up, with those interior guys. So I'm want to give Allen a shout out here. I think he's going to have a chance for a big game.
So another guy, I know he only got a few snaps later in the game, Uwazurike. I thought he actually played pretty darn well for not having played in a year and a half. He made quite a few plays in the backfield, was good in the run game. He could be another one I could see the Broncos giving a few more opportunities on those third and long plays with his length. Let him go eat up some blocks possibly and allow some just kind of exotic looks with that front. And like you said, Zach Allen kind of coming around the edge as well. There's so many things the Broncos could do in this one because, like you said, they're banged up. A lot of new guys. Chargers kind of did that to the Broncos this last week. Hey, they're banged up. Let's throw a few things at them to see how these new guys communicate. And the Broncos were not great in that area, unfortunately. So that's a lot of what I would do too. Like I said, that interior guys, they should be able to win and really make Rattler uncomfortable. And then you just got to hope that those edge guys, the big thing for them, hold that edge. Don't let him get to the outside. That's where he is most comfortable when he's getting on the run, getting to improvise. They were interviewing Rattler after the game and he talked about, yeah, there's about 3 or 4 of those plays where, you know, wasn't designed to do that, but it just, the play kind of went that way. And then I was able to go make something happen through it. And so, yeah, the best thing you can do against any rookie quarterback, I think, is make them play from the pocket and make them uncomfortable in there. Make them have to play from a small area that they didn't have in college.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be an interesting one, no doubt. And I mean, rookie quarterback, so many guys out. Denver is catching the Saints at the right time. And hopefully it's something that, you know, with PS2 being out, the offense being bad, maybe this is a chance for a get right game. Now, we're not playing the the Browns here, where it's, you know, an absolute just joke right now of a team. But the Saints are really reeling, and we have a chance to come in and, you know, kind of step on their throat I do want to ask you, Carl, are you concerned at all about the Sean Payton return factor here? We obviously saw when Peyton Manning returned to Indy, I was at that game, that it was emotionally almost like too much, and it got into his head a little bit. Do you think that's a chance that that could happen with Peyton in this game as well? I'm of the opinion that he's the coach. It's a little bit different circumstances of focus and whatnot. You're a little bit more insulated in the game itself. So I'm not really that worried about it, other than maybe he gets a little bit, tries to do too much out there with the calls. Maybe it's like a little bit too aggressive, but I don't know. I think he's going to just do what he does. He's got skins on the wall. He's going to lean into what he does.
Yeah, I think he should be okay. It's obviously going to be very emotional for him since it is in New Orleans. Like if it was in Denver, I think it'd be a little bit different where he's actually going back home. He's still got family there. I think he talked about that he plans on having about 20 or 30 family members at the game kind of thing. And it does sound like the players really want to win this one for him. So you could see maybe them trying to push a little bit. But I think once they get just settled into the game, they're going to be fine.
Man, I hope so. I hope so. So before we move on to this final topic here, I do want to get your score prediction of this game. And you guys in the chat, let us know is what you think as well. But hopefully you already sent it into Chad because it's coming up soon. But we got Saints Broncos. What do you think final score?
I think this, like I said, it's going to be a get right game with all their injuries. I think the Broncos will get the run game going really, really well and get some play action. Bo Nix will get a few open looks. I'm going to say Broncos 27, Saints 13. Like I said, I think this is a good get right game. They're going to look pretty decent on offense, getting some drives sustained, getting down the field, not having it three quarters in before you get across half field for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I have the Broncos winning this one, 26-20. Think that it'll be, Saints probably still put up some points here. I think that, with the way Rattler plays, they're going to get them every once in a while, with some tight window throws, but I expect, Denver to be able to run the football in this one, protect the football and, come out with the W. So we'll see. I think I'm 3-3 on the season. So hopefully I can keep that up with the Broncos as well. But it's a little bit better. And yeah, we got extra emotional with Drew being inducted to the Ring of Fame there. We'll see with Sean Payton. I don't know. I think it's a little bit different circumstances where I think it can be a little bit emotional. And it's not going to impact him like quarterback on the field where you have to process and be like so clear-minded and dialed in. But I never played in the NFL. I never coached in the NFL, so I couldn't say it. But it just I do think it's different. We are guys predicting Denver wins. I like Ernie's score here, 17-3. String Paul says 41-13. Ooh. String guy 31-17. Yeah, we'll see what happens here with all of this. Benito, 2 sacks. I would love to see a Jonah Ellis game because rookie, 4 years of control left. Let's see the youngest guys possible. I want to see all these rookie contract guys step up. Phil McLaughlin 27-9. Yeah, it should be a lot better, hopefully in this game, but we'll see. Before we move forward here, we had a flurry of trades today, Carl. We had Devonta Adams to the Jets, and we had, of course, Amari Cooper to the Bills. Denver sitting there at 3-3. Are you expecting any moves from them?
I would say if they win this one, I do think that they would make some kind of move. And I think it'd probably be at the tight end position just because that's your weakest spot. I know it'd be nice to add another wide receiver, but I think at this point you're kind of locked into hoping one of your young players figures something out. Bailey looked good in this last one. He made a few nice catches for the Broncos. So maybe he, as he's getting healthier, gets more comfortable in this offense, maybe he becomes that good number two for you that teams have to at least not worry about, but at least take notice of. Mm-hmm. So I think tight end, if you can find a decent tight end that can come in and do something for you, I think that'd make a world of difference for Bo Nix to have that trust of somebody over the middle, that 5 to 10 to 15 yard area that the Broncos just have nobody right now to take advantage of that. What about you?
I think that we're looking at, if you have a chance to bring in like a young wide receiver and maybe even give up, some valuable resources. Like let's say seems like Garrett Wilson is pretty disenfranchised with the Jets right now. Like, I would maybe be like, hey, you know, give up a one and send back Wilson and a future three or something, you know, because I think Wilson as a prospect coming out, I like more than any wide receiver prospect in this upcoming draft. And I think he would be an awesome fit next to Sutton and something this offense just simply does not have. And he's not really thrilled with the Jets right now, it seems like. So he's one that stands out to me. Now, are they going to shop him? No. And I think, I'm scared of like a team like the Chiefs maybe going and getting him or something like that. But that's the type of caliber player I'm talking about. I'm not interested in your 33-year-old player who's a rent-a-player. I want, if you want to add somebody, it needs to be like somebody who's going to be in here building and growing with Bo Nix. So I'm not really interested in giving up picks for, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. What does that do for you? Maybe you win one more game this year. Cool.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, whoop-de-doo. You have a chance, maybe a long-term tight end. And it doesn't even have to be good. I'm talking like, you know, giving up a sixth-round pick or a fifth-round pick, and you get this player with a seventh, you know, that kind of thing. But just to add another NFL option in that room right now that's really lacking NFL options. And right now, I think it's as likely that Denver's trading away from – what's the word I'm looking for here? Trading away from surplus, quote on surplus on that, than they are trading. I mean, somebody like Baron Browning, who I love. I mean, pass rush is at a premium. He's last year of his contract. He's been injured a lot. You have Tillman, who stepped up in his wake. Obviously, Benito's four sacks in a row. Want to see more of Ellis. And I'm ready to pay Cooper. Browning, I love him. I think there's a chance he can go on and be – I mean, he can still end up being the best player out of this room, out of all of them, but you can't trust him. I'd rather maybe trip him out now. I mean, you're not going to get much for him. Maybe a fourth, and you send back a sixth or a future sixth or seventh. I don't know, something like that. But that's one that interests me. If you talked about Owazarike stepping up, if Denver loses this game, maybe DJ Jones with just 1 year left is somebody who would, you know, fifth round pick coming back at the salary off. But that's just another chance at a rookie contract there that stands out. And maybe you get like a sixth or seventh for somebody like Mathis out there, but there's not a lot of tradable assets for the Broncos, but there is some like fringe kind of guys that make some sense if they do lose.
Yeah. If they do lose, like you said, I do think it could go that other way where they become those sellers, because that the November schedule is pretty darn crazy. Chiefs, Ravens. I think, is it the Chargers again? I can't remember exactly, but it was four pretty tough opponents. I think Atlanta might be in there as well.
Atlanta's in there. Yep.
Yeah. So that's going to be four really tough games to win. You've got to win these next two to even think about the playoffs. And I saw somebody earlier say, hey, Carl, do you think the Broncos can still make the playoffs? Like, how are you still feeling about the team? Like, yeah, this last game was terrible. It really was. I don't think that's a showing of who the Broncos are. Mm-hmm. I think that once Sertan went down, I mean, just the start of that game was horrible. Yeah. Interception right off the bat. Then your best player on the entire team goes down on the first defensive play of the game. And most of your game plan on defense is based around, hey, he's shutting down one guy the entire game. Now we've got 10 guys to kind of cover the rest of this, and we can make this be very creative. But once he went down, it's kind of like, okay, now we've got to be a little bit more conservative in how we go about this. And it didn't look quite right. Didn't look like everybody quite knew what they were supposed to be doing at that point. So, like I said, I just don't think that was a great showing of who the Broncos are. Once Sertan's back, hopefully after this week, they can go back to a lot of that look. Defense should be fine. Offense, I think they'll get it figured out a little bit more than what they're doing. It's just... we all kind of knew this was going to be a process. It wasn't going to all look great day one. It rarely ever is. Even CJ Stroud did not look great weeks one, two, three, early in the season. So I think the Broncos will be fine. I do think they got a really good chance of being a playoff team. I don't quite think they make the playoffs, but I think they're right on the edge, still fighting in December.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens here. I think that Denver's going to win this game, and I expect them to, honestly, I expect them to win the next two, and we'll just see what happens at Baltimore. I don't know how Denver is going to stop what they're doing right now with the way they're running with, I mean, Lamar Jackson's the MVP through the first third of the year. Derrick Henry is like the first in every single running back category. So they are giving up a lot of explosive plays on defense. That's something that maybe you can look for, but I don't know. That's a tough game. Then at Arrowhead, I mean, I think you got a chance at Arrowhead actually, because I don't think Kansas City is offense is a juggernaut right now. So I'm expecting a low scoring game where if they're not putting up points like crazy, fluky things can happen in low possession games, right? Like you can drag them down to playing in the muck you with your defense and everything. So we'll see. But should be a fun one. I'm really happy the Broncos get a chance to flush that Chargers game down the drain and move forward. And again, if Bo Nix comes out and has a great game, it doesn't mean that he's you know, the next superstar and he's figured everything out, just as much as it doesn't mean that this last game means that he's a bust, right? Slow and steady. I'm boring. I know, right? Big sample. We want it here, but I think this is definitely a game where they can get improve some things, get the run game going, feeling good about the run game. That's what I really want. And walk out with a W in a Thursday night game. So we'll see. This is one. And if you told me at the beginning of the season, Denver's 4-3 going into that that Carolina game, you bet your sweet, you know what, I would have taken that given the holes on the roster and the dead cap. So not in a bad spot organizationally right now. Just hoping that we can start to see a little bit more consistent positivity from the 12th overall pick in the last class.
Sounds good to me, man.
Yeah.
Hopefully it all plays out exactly how we have it written right here.
Yeah, got it. We got David McElrath. We got to say hello to our thank you to our super chats. Papa Bear, of course, Elias Brunel, Papa Bear. We got Phil McLaughlin coming in. Cody W, Dennis Woods. You guys are great. If you guys aren't like the super chat givers, make sure you bring back Nick's beer money. We need diaper wipe money going on here. Diaper money. Those things are expensive. Excuse me. I need Nick's cough drop money too. Goodness. If you guys can't, donate to Nick's beer fund, thumbs up on the way out. That does a heck of a lot of good for us. We appreciate that. Find us over on iTunes, of course. Leave us a Apple podcast review and all of that stuff. Make sure you're following Carl and I on Twitter. Carl's at Carl Dummer MHH. I'm at Nick Kendall MHH. Follow us at Mile High Huddle. If you're over on Facebook.com, we're over at Facebook.com/Mile High Huddle and Facebook.com/Mile High Huddle Pod. And as that ticker says there underneath, please subscribe to the show over on YouTube. Like the show on the way out and share on your social media platforms. We appreciate everyone coming in here. As I'm the man said here, we want to choose kindness, compassion, and choose to call up Parham. I'm looking for a blocking tight end. I'm not a 6'8", seam route runner. But if, Kroll keeps struggling and Dulcich gets hurt, we'll see what happens. But appreciate everyone. Carl, any final thoughts since we're rocking our hiking merch? What's going on?
It's we knew this was going to be an uphill battle, just like that of going on a hike. You got to be willing to take one step at a time, and you can't just skip to the top of the mountain. And that's where the Broncos are at. We just got to be ready to endure through some of the difficult challenges. And, sometimes they like to tell you that, hey, we only got a little bit left, and then it's still 10 miles to get to the next spot.
It's all relative.
Sometimes that happens.
Right? It's all relative.
But I like where the Broncos are at. They're probably about where I thought they would be for this season. And I think there's positive signs of things looking good for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, we'll see you again next week. Appreciate it all. You have a great rest of your Tuesday. Continue to choose kindness, compassion, and as always, go Broncos.
You've been listening to Building the Broncos. Join Broncos Country's deep divers at milehighhuddle.com to keep the conversation going.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.